Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 9 of the Playoff Push podcast and week 3 of NFL recap. Today, we will be touching on all of the week 3 games, two of which are still currently going on. Jaguars and Bills are in the fourth, and Commanders and Bengals are in the third. So hopefully those games will be further on by the time we hit them. But today, we'll be going over all the games that have already finished, as well as the ones that are currently finishing. And over the fantasy leaders of this week. And you won't want to miss the ending because these guys are ridiculous. The number one player, you would never guess to be the number one in a million years if you haven't watched week 3 already. We lead off this week. Patriots and Jets in East Rutherford on Thursday night. The Jets come out on top. 24-3 over New England, and I don't know why I didn't start the Jets defense. I should have expected the Patriots to fall off eventually, but I started the Raiders defense against the Panthers, and we'll get back to why it's a disaster later. But an absolute disaster of a game for this Patriots offense. Ramondre Stevenson drops 0.3 fantasy points in ESPN standard PPR. And the quarterbacks combine for 120 yards on 16 completions for the Patriots. No touchdowns were scored. An absolute offensive disaster for this New England team. Jets, however, Rodgers, 27 for 35, 281 yards, and two touchdowns. Braylon Allen putting up 11 carries for 55 yards, as well as three receptions for 13. Breece Hall, 16 carries, 54 yards, a touchdown on the ground, as well as four receptions and 29 yards in the air. Tyler Conklin, five receptions, 93 yards. An overall pretty good offensive showing for this Jets team. Garrett Wilson also had a touchdown through the air. Jets take the first game of week 3 of this NFL season. Second game, my New York Giants against the Cleveland Browns. The Giants finally get their first win of the year. 21-15 final, stopping a Browns late comeback. Both quarterbacks played pretty solid games. Daniel Jones, 24 for 34, 236 yards, and two touchdowns through the air. Deshaun Watson, 21 for 37, 196 yards, and also two touchdowns. Wasn't looking great for the Giants as they fumbled on the first play of the game and allowed an Amari Cooper touchdown on the second play. After that, they rebounded very well, of course, winning by 6 points. Jones is really performing much better than anyone would have expected him to. And you want to guess why? It's Malik Nabers. 8 receptions, 78 yards, two touchdowns to add to his already historic rookie season. Throughout his first three career games, Malik Nabers, 23 receptions, 271 yards, and three touchdowns, averaging just under 12 yards per catch. And stellar season here from the rookie out of LSU, also doing things at an age which nobody in NFL history has done. I don't know specific stats, but he's doing some very impressive stuff while still being 21 years old. Devin Singletary, 16 carries for 65 yards and a touchdown on the ground. Wandale Robinson added 7 receptions for 61 yards. Overall, just a great game for the Giants offense. Browns offense wasn't awful either, Deshaun Watson, but the run game really never got going, and I think that's what cost Cleveland the game. But both Cooper and Nabers, 2 touchdowns for these offenses, and the Giants just barely take it, 21-15. Then we get to game 3, which is Eagles-Saints. I predicted this game to be an absolute shootout. Touchdowns everywhere. Deep bombs from Hurts. Deep bombs from Carr. I expected at least a touchdown from Rashid Shaheed. No. 15-12 final in favor of the Eagles. Both teams now 2-1. Jalen Hurts, another disappointing showing. 29 for 38, 311 yards, no touchdowns, and a pick. Saquon, once again, had another legacy game. Seems like his third in a row. 17 carries, 147 yards, and two touchdowns. But if you want a real legacy game, Dallas Goedert, 10 receptions, 170 yards, of course, 17 yards per catch, something he's never done before or even gotten close to. The problem here is that this was a big injury game for the Eagles. DeVonta Smith, I believe, was knocked out of the game with a concussion around midway through, and Britton Covey is now out with a broken bone. They didn't say which one. They just said a broken bone. And that's about it. So we just got to trust their word on that. Saints, however, their offense was so much worse than we've seen the first 2 weeks. Carr, 14 for 25, 142 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. Kamara really didn't do that much either. 26 carries, 87 yards, three receptions, 40 yards, no touchdowns for AK. Really just a disappointing showing from everyone not named Chris Olave, who had six receptions for 86 yards and a touchdown. Eagles win a game that everyone thought would be a shootout in a defensive matchup, 15 to 12. Game three, Vikings Texans. So coming into this game, everyone's thinking, okay, Houston has a great chance to make the Super Bowl as the AFC representative. They're loaded. They have Stroud. They have Mixon. They have everyone you could ever want at the halfback spot, along with five or six capable receivers. Then they come out and lose 34-7 to Sam Darnold and the Vikings. What is happening with Sam Darnold? 17 for 28, 181 yards, and four touchdowns through the air. Justin Jefferson, six receptions, 81 yards, and a touchdown. Also adding passing touchdowns to Aaron Jones, Jalen Naylor, and Johnny Munt, the backup tight end, as TJ Hockenson still has not returned. Aaron Jones, 19 carries for 102 yards on the ground, and another really good defensive performance from the Vikings, taking two picks from Stroud, who had 20 for 31, 215 yards, and a touchdown, as well as those two picks. Both Davis Mills and Stephon Diggs did get quarterback reps in this game, which is kind of funny. But overall, just a horrendous offensive game from the Texans. Cam Akers had one receiving touchdown on one reception for 8 yards. Other than that, no production from this offense at all. Diggs had 10 receptions, 94 yards, but never really got in a spot to score. 34-7 is a score nobody would have ever expected Sam Darnold to beat CJ Stroud and these loaded Texans. Texans fans should be pretty concerned after that. You know, you never want to lose to Sam Darnold, and when you do, you should never be happy about it. Another game, really surprising. Tampa Bay and Denver. Denver comes out of nowhere and wins 26-7 over Baker Mayfield and the Bucks. Mayfield just been slinging the ball, touchdown after touchdown after touchdown. This game limited to one touchdown through the air, 25 for 33, 163 yards. That one touchdown and a pick. Bo Nix did not throw a pick this game. 25 for 36, 216 yards. It wasn't really that great of a game for this Broncos offense either. Bo Nix had nine carries for 47 yards and a rushing touchdown. Jaleel McLaughlin had a rushing touchdown. But it really was not a great game. But the Broncos still dropped 26 on the Bucks' head. Chris Godwin, six receptions, 53 yards and a touchdown. Cade Otton, seven receptions, 47 yards. Bucks offense just got shut down by this Broncos defense. And that was that. You know, Baker Mayfield finally met his match in the, you know, Pat Surtain-led Broncos defense. Denver does come out of this game winning 26-7. Tampa is now down to 2-1, and Denver is up to 1-2. Now we get to Packers and Titans. Green Bay wins 30-14 in an all-time Malik Willis revenge game. 13 for 19, 202 yards and a touchdown through the air, as well as six carries for 73 yards and a touchdown on the ground. Just domination from Malik Willis over his former squad. Not much dominance from the receiving end. Watson had two receptions, Reed had four. No one else had more than two besides Reed. So Willis was really getting the ball around to whoever he could see. Still had 13 completions, 202 yards, and a passing touchdown. Will Levis, 26 for 34, 260 yards, two touchdowns, two interceptions. This Titans offense just finds a way to mess it up in a different way every single week. And most of the time, it's Will Levis. I don't know if you've seen the photos, but there's been an amazing photo from each week of Will Levis. The first one was him on the ground with his knees, hands on the back of his head, staring while the fumble goes. The second one was when he tried to flip it to Tajay Spears in week two, and the third was when he got absolutely crushed and fumbled. So Will Levis just making some really not smart plays so far this season. Titans really not performing well in offense. This was the revenge game for Nuke, finally putting up some nice numbers. Six receptions, 73 yards, and a touchdown in the air. The other touchdown for the Titans was Nick Vennett, two receptions, 9 yards, and that one touchdown. Overall, it was Malik Willis all day, every day. Absolute dominance from Green Bay. As we move on to our next game, Bears and Colts. The Colts finally get their win 21-16 over the Caleb Williams-led Bears. How I could not tell you besides the name Jonathan Taylor. I started Anthony Richardson. I drafted him high this year. 10 completions, 20 attempts, 167 yards and two picks. He's been nothing but a disappointment this year in terms of fantasy. Jonathan Taylor came back, carried him on his back, 23 carries, 110 yards and two touchdowns on the ground, as well as Trey Sermon adding a touchdown on the ground with two carries, 16 yards. This passing game for Richardson has really not been great. One reception, 44 yards for Alec Pierce. One reception, 40 yards for Kylan Granson. Four receptions, 36 yards for Michael Pittman. One for 25 for Taylor. Three for 22 for Josh Downs. No one else caught a ball. No passing touchdowns for Richardson in this game. No rushing touchdowns for him either. Always giving it off to the halfbacks. This game was just another, you know, disappointing showing from literally everybody not named Jonathan Taylor. Caleb Williams did become the first quarterback of the year to cross the 350-yard mark, which Dak would do later in the night. We'll talk about him later on. Caleb, 33 for 52, 363 yards, two touchdowns, two picks. Those two touchdowns go into Odunze and Kmet. Kmet with 10 receptions on 97 yards. Odunze, six receptions and 112 yards. So the Colts do come out on top. Both teams even out at 1-2, 21-16 in favor of Indianapolis. Then we head to Pittsburgh, LA, a game nobody expected to be fun at all. And take a wild guess, it was not. What is happening with this offense that I thought I loved from Pittsburgh? They're winning football. It is not fun football. Let's say that. Herbert, 12 for 18, 125 yards and one touchdown through the air before Taylor Heinicke had to come in when Herbert went down later in the game. J.K. Dobbins finally got shut down in the run game. 15 carries, only 44 yards, did not cross the 100-yard mark like he had in the first two games. And no real dominance from the offense for the Chargers. Quentin Johnston, two receptions, 44 yards and one touchdown. That's really all you can say about them. Justin Fields, 25 completions, 32 attempts, 245 yards, one touchdown, and one pick. Najee did nothing. Warren literally did nothing. Three carries, 5 yards. That's that. So Najee was dominating the run game and still did nothing. Calvin Austin slowly becoming more of a target for Fields than Pickens. Austin, four receptions, 95 yards, and a touchdown. On the contrary to Pickens, five receptions, 57 yards, and no tutties. So Steelers win that one 20-10. Another boring game from this Pittsburgh offense. I really don't want to talk about Seahawks-Dolphins. It was a disaster of a game. The Seahawks won. That's all I'll tell you. Zach Charbonnet, 18 carries, 91 yards, two touchdowns. And the Dolphins had to let Tim Boyle play for half the game. That's all I will say. I will stop talking about that game right now because I do not want to talk about it for anymore. And then we get to the disaster of the week. The Raiders lost to the Panthers. You heard me right. So the Panthers bench Bryce Young. Everyone thinks, oh, now they're totally screwed. Andy Dalton comes out 26 for 37, 319 yards, three touchdowns through the air, and the Panthers drop a 36 bomb on this Raiders defense. Chuba Hubbard, 21 carries, 114 yards. Miles Sanders, 7 carries, 17 yards, and a touchdown. Deontay Johnson puts up 8 receptions, 122 yards, and a touchdown. Chuba Hubbard gets another in the air. Adam Thielen gets a touchdown through the air as well from Dalton. And this Raiders team just looked clueless out there. Nobody knew what to do at all. The Panthers were throwing nukes all over their heads. Devontae Adams was held to 4 receptions for 10 yards. Bowers held to 3 for 41. Just a disaster of a game from the Raiders in a game where most sane people thought they would win. So Panthers get out of the potential 0-3 hole, go to 1-2. Raiders match them, another 1-2 record. Now we head to Niners-Rams. And to me, I will not lie to you guys, this was my game of the week. Niners-Rams was absolutely incredible. Niners missing Debo, missing Kittle, missing McCaffrey, Rams missing Kupp, missing Nacua, missing Higbee. Every single weapon in this game, except for Ayuk, was basically gone. Brock Purdy still comes out and absolutely slings 22 completions, 30 attempts, 292 yards, 3 touchdowns, and a no picks. Mason really had a mediocre game, never really did anything great, but wasn't awful either. Brandon Ayuk, 5 receptions, 48 yards. That's it. So you're like, probably, so where did all of Purdy's yards and touchdowns come from? Juwan Jennings. 11 receptions, 175 yards, and 3 touchdowns. One of the best waiver wire pickups for a single week, probably of all time. You'll see where he ranks in the scoring leaders later. But the Niners had 3 touchdowns from Juwan Jennings and 175 receiving yards. You want to guess what happened? They lost. Because you want to know who else had 3 touchdowns? Kyren Williams. Matthew Stafford, 600. Sixth, what the heck am I saying? 600, 16 for 25 from Stafford, 221 yards and a touchdown through the air. Kyren Williams, here's his line, 24 carries, 89 yards, 2 touchdowns on the ground, as well as 2 receptions for 27 yards and a touchdown through the air. So Stafford absolutely gives the ball to Kyren every play. Purdy gives the ball to Jennings every play, and Kyren just barely squeaks out the win, 27-24. This was an absolutely amazing game. If you didn't get to watch it, you should try to find a way to go back and watch it. Absolutely stellar game from both sides. Now we hop into Lions and Cardinals. Detroit comes out on top. 20-13. Lions move up to 2-1. Cardinals fall to 1-2. Jared Goff puts up a mediocre stat line. 18 for 23, 199 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. Dave Montgomery, 23 carries, 105 yards and a touchdown on the ground. So Monty putting up some great numbers. Amon-Ra, 7 for 75 and a touchdown through the air. But the unfortunate news was Sam Laporta going down mid-game after 2 receptions for 36 yards. He did come back, but is questionable for next week. Kyler, however, 21 for 34, 207 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. Not too much in the rushing game from Kyler here. Justin Marvin Harrison, 5 receptions, 64 yards, and a touchdown. Cardinals put up a pretty solid fight. Unfortunately, just wasn't enough against this Lions offense, despite only dropping 20. So the Lions do come out on top. It was a pretty close game, and it really could have gone either way if a few plays had switched from the Lions' favorite to the Cardinals. Just an unfortunate break there for Arizona, but don't worry, they'll be back. You can trust Murray and Harrison until the day we die. Another amazing game, Baltimore-Dallas. Baltimore wins 28-25. Both teams are now 1-2. This will be known as the 2024 Derrick Henry game. 25 carries, 151 yards, 2 touchdowns on the ground, as well as Lamar adding a passing and rushing touchdown. He was 12 for 15 for 182 and a touchdown, as well as 14 for 87 and a touchdown on the ground. Rashad Bateman had the sole passing touchdown, 3 for 28 and the tutty. Aguilar had 1 reception for 56 yards. Charlie Kohler, 1 reception for 30 yards. So overall, not a great passing game for the Ravens, but they were rushing the ball with Lamar and Henry absolutely down this Dallas defense's throats. Dak was the second quarterback of the year to cross the 350-yard mark, doing it on a 28-for-51 clip, 379 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. Dak did have a rushing touchdown, which is fun enough, but 2 receiving touchdowns came from Kevontae Turpin and Jalen Tolbert. CD was held relatively under control. 4 receptions, 67 yards. Jake Ferguson, 6 receptions, 95 yards. Just a ton of yardage for this Dallas offense. Still wasn't enough to beat Baltimore, though, with their insane rushing attack. Again, Baltimore wins 28-25. And then we get to the other Sunday night game. Chiefs-Falcons that ends on a controversial no DPI call, 22-17 in favor of Kansas City. Who would have ever guessed? Patrick Mahomes, 26 for 39, 217 yards, two touchdowns, and one pick. Carson Steele did get number one halfback reps, 17 carries, 72 yards. So nothing too great, but enough to hold it down for KC. Rashee Rice once again dominated, 12 receptions, 110 yards, and a touchdown. Juju had another touchdown in Chiefs red. Worthy and Kelce both definitely held down. So Mahomes had to rely on Rice basically the entire game. But hey, it ended up working, 22-17 again. Kirk Cousins, 20 for 29, 230 yards, one touchdown, and one pick. That one receiving touchdown was to Drake London, six receptions, 67 yards. Only five receivers were able to get hit for a pass. Drake London, Darnell Mooney, Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson, and Ray-Ray McCloud. No one else caught a pass for these Falcons. And Bijan also had a touchdown on the ground, 16 carries for 31 yards, averaging 1.9 yards per carry. Still got a touchdown mixed in there, though. A lot of people are going to be, you know, angered about how the Chiefs won this game on that DPI no call. But hey, who expects anything different from the league? Now we're currently in the middle. Well, not in the middle. 3 minutes, 28 left to go in this Bills-Jags game. It's not even going to be worth talking about. The Bills lead 47-10 currently. It was 34-3 at halftime. Josh Allen, 23 for 30, 263 yards, four touchdowns, as well as two rushing touchdowns from James Cook and Ray Davis. Just absolute offensive domination. Mac Jones is in for the Jaguars, so that's basically the white flag that they're waving. Buffalo absolutely comes out and dominates. And right now, Washington beating Cincinnati 31-20 with 11.5 left to go in the fourth quarter. Jaden Daniels, a passing and rushing touchdown, 14 for 16 through the air, 182 yards and a touchdown, as well as 10 carries for 38 yards and a touchdown. Terry McLaurin had an absolute deep bomb from Daniels. It was a gorgeous throw, gorgeous catch. You could say the same thing about Jamar Chase, who had a great ball from Burrow. Burrow currently 20 for 27, 208 yards and two touchdowns. One of them to Chase, the other to my boy Andre Josivas, once again showing his name up in the scoring box. Unfortunately, still not leading down 11 to this Washington team. That's it for the games of the week, but how about we go to the fantasy leaders? We will start off with everyone over the 25-point threshold. Sorry, Andy Dalton. Malik Willis comes in at 25.38 points, the lowest guy to cross the 25 mark. Zach Charbonnet crosses with 25.7, as well as Cole Kmet with the same total. Brock Purdy, 25.78. Aaron Jones, 25.8. Lamar Jackson, 25.98. Deontay Johnson, 26.2. Jonathan Taylor, 26.5. Dallas Goedert, 27. Amari Cooper, 27.6. Chuba Hubbard, 27.9. Malik Nabers, 28.2. Rashee Rice comes in with a 29.1. Prescott, 29.86. And now we're in the top five. Derrick Henry, 30.4. Josh Allen currently is at a 30.92. He could rise later in this game. Kyren Williams comes in at 31.6. Saquon at 33.6, and your number one fantasy player of the week is San Francisco 49ers wide receiver Juwan Jennings. Three touchdowns through the air, 11 receptions, 175 yards for 46.5 fantasy points. So your number one fantasy scorer for week three is Juwan Jennings of the San Francisco 49ers. It was not even close, but still was not enough to get the win as the Los Angeles Rams take that game from San Francisco. So that has been your NFL recap for week three of the 2024-2025 NFL season. I would like to thank you guys for your continued support. I'm really trying to keep improving this. I really want to make this such a great project for all you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Have a great rest of your day.